was particularly struck as we sang this last song here about the story of Jesus. The idea that Jesus bought in. He bought in, didn't he? When he came to live on earth. Think of what he left behind, what he gave up, so he could buy in to be among us. These parables that we're talking about from Matthew chapter 13, I invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. One of the ways to think about these stories that Jesus tells, these parables, is that they are portable theology, portable teaching. And they strike me as I think about these stories of Jesus, that they're meant to stick with us. They're not meant to just hear it and slide off of us and we don't take it home with us. That Jesus intended for his first hearers, and I think for us as well, to hear these stories and to be captured by these stories. And what I mean by that is that we keep thinking about these stories again and again, and we keep seeing different sides to these stories that maybe we've not seen before, or different ways that this story may apply to my life or to our life together as a church. That these are stories, these parables are stories that keep prodding us. They keep poking us. They keep prompting us. I want to say a few things about this parable before I read it. One of those is that it literally says, when you read the original language here, it just says, a man. That's how it starts off. This is chapter 13, verses 45 and 46. It literally just says, a man. The Greek word there is anthropos. The word anthropology comes from that. It just means a human being. Anthropology is the study of human beings. It just says this anthropos, this man. There was this man. But it defines him a little bit more. It says that he's an emporiai. That's the Greek word. You ever hear the word emporium? An emporium is a marketplace. That's another word for a marketplace. And it says this man's a merchant. That's what it is. That's what emporiai means. He's a merchant. There is this man, and he's a merchant man, it says. He's a guy that buys, and he's a guy that sells, and he makes some profit, hopefully, off of what he buys low and sells high. That's his intention. I wouldn't be a very good emporiai. My practice is to buy high and sell low. But this is somebody that's good at it. There are people that are good at that. And it says that he deals in fine pearls. Notice plural. Pearls. He's on the look for pearls. He's a pearl specialist. One of the interesting thing about pearls is, though pearls are not spoken in a negative way in the Scripture, I would remind you that oysters are non-kosher. That's where pearls... You do know pearls come from oysters. Irritated oysters. But oysters are something that, if you're Jewish, you don't eat oysters because they're non-kosher. You don't eat shellfish. And yet pearls are highly prized. And of all of the jewels that are mentioned in the Bible, this is the only one that has an organic source. It's not mineral. It's organic. It comes from a creature. It says that he's a merchant of pearls, plural. But then he finds the pearl. The pearl, it says. And he realizes the value of that, at least to himself. Whether anyone else realizes the value of this one single pearl, this is the pearl of all pearls. So that he goes from pearls to pearl. Whereas he's been on the lookout for any kind of pearl, now there's this one pearl. And the response to this is that he impoverishes himself. Isn't that what it says? He sells everything he's got. He has a sale. When I was growing up, one of my favorite uncles is a man named Corky Bozeman. Uncle Corky married my dad's sister. So I've got four Bozeman cousins. One of the things I liked about Corky, he's just lots of fun. When Cindy and I married, I was in preaching school and I didn't have much money, and my dad very, very graciously offered to let me drive his new Buick on my honeymoon. Only I was afraid somebody was going to mess up his car. And my Uncle Corky had a farm machinery place in Lubbock. And he had this big truck that you could load equipment on. And the bed on it would tilt back and you could pull stuff on it. So he had this fellow named Napoleon that worked for him. And the whole time during our wedding, if you've been in Lubbock, you know what the loop is. The whole time during our wedding, Napoleon drove that truck with my dad's car on the back of it, around and around the loop, and waiting for Uncle Corky's call. And after, when the reception was coming to a close and we were about to leave, he called Nap. They called him Nap, and he said, "Nap, come on to the church." And so Knapp came on to the church, and he pulled up in the parking lot with my dad's Buick on the back of that truck. Nobody messed with my dad's car. There was no painting on that car. And he pulls up in the parking lot, and I got up in the cab of that truck with Napoleon, and Cindy's brother handed her up to me in that truck. And we drove off from the wedding in a truck carrying that car. My uncle was an auctioneer. He and his father, Kenneth, were auctioneers together. And they would go when somebody was selling out. Now, if you grew up around farm country, what you think of is really probably one of two things when you hear that somebody's selling out. Either they went bankrupt and the bank would called in all the loans and they're having to liquidate all their assets. Or none of the kids wanted the farm, and so we're going to sell all the equipment and sell the land. Or maybe rent it out. But that's when you had sales. And Uncle Corky and his father, Kenneth, did lots of sales like that. They would go out to these farms and sell all this equipment. Just sell it out. Liquidate all the assets. Sometimes they would do sales for stores. I remember one time I went to one of those auctions. I think it's the only time I've ever bought anything in an auction. And I was a little boy. And this store, I think it was a hardware store or something, but they had this great big bag of marbles. And I was the only one that bid on that. I won. I still got a bunch of those marbles. If you come into our den, there's this big glass jar with a bunch of marbles in it. And that's from when I bought those marbles at the auction. One time, we were over at my uncle's house. He lived between Idaloo and Lubbock, out east of Lubbock. And we were playing in the yard, and Uncle Corky came home, and he'd been to a sale at this store. And sometimes he would buy stuff. Like, he would buy equipment that didn't sell, he would buy it. And that's how he got into the used farm machinery business. And he showed up, and he had this great big box with him, cardboard box. And he called all these I think it was 13 cousins. I think we almost all were there. And he called us all over there, and he said, I bought this at the store, at the sale, and y'all can play with this. And we opened up the box. Have you ever seen these little airplanes that were made out of foam, and you could they had the wings on them and everything, and you could adjust the wings, and they'd fly this way? It was a box with probably 200 or 300 of those airplanes in it. So we all got at least 10 or 20 of those airplanes. The air was full of these airplanes. It was a lot of fun. But he had those because this store was going out of business. It's selling all that they had. That's what we hear in this parable, isn't it? This man who is a merchant, this man who has been looking for pearls, decides that he will not look for pearls anymore because he found the pearl. And when he found it, and this is something I really hadn't paid a lot of attention to before, it says he sold everything he had. He signed over the deed to his house. He signed over the deed to his car. He sold all of his stock. He cashed in his retirement. All he has now is this one pearl because he bought in. Isn't that what he did? He bought in. And he's taking a risk, isn't he? Everybody may not think this is as valuable as he does. He has maxed out the credit card so he can buy this thing. I never had really thought about what a risk he's taking here. It can be risky to buy in because you don't have any cushion left. You don't have anything to fall back on. This is either going to work or it's not. And there's no gray area here. I want to read these two little verses in chapter 13. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value went and sold all that he had and bought it. This is a man who bought in. To buy in means you leave every other, you don't have any room for error. You have committed yourself to this course, and there's no going back on it. This is commitment. That's the kingdom of God is about commitment. Full commitment. Wholehearted commitment. Leaving everything else behind. Because you found this one thing that's worth more than anything else. That's what the kingdom of heaven is about. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "Seek first the kingdom." Seek first the kingdom. That's what this man did, isn't it? This one thing. This one thing's worth more than anything else. Seek first the kingdom of heaven. And all these other things will be added to you, but seek this first. Buy in. In chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, Jesus offers this assurance. Seek, and you will find. All who seek, we'll find. And in chapter 7, verse 21 of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "Seek the kingdom of heaven and enter it. Not everyone who says, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter." It's not enough just to have words. It's not enough just to come to church and sing the songs that have the right words in them. To listen to scripture read that are true words, but you may or may not buy in. The kingdom of heaven is about buying in. Because you found something that's worth more than anything else. In Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10, you read this story. We've all read this story. We've sung about this story. Zacchaeus. You ever thought about that Zacchaeus bought in? He bought in. You ever wonder what happened after Jesus left? I think he has a sale. I think he has to liquidate his assets. Because you remember what he commits himself to? I think he leaves his career. He's been a tax collector, and I think he leaves that career. And not only was he a tax collector, if you read carefully there, it says he was high up. He had a good job. And it says that he leaves that job. I think that's what happens. And he liquidates assets. And the reason I say that is, do you remember what he commits himself to? Which I think is a way of buying in. He says, if I've defrauded anybody, and I think that if is kind of a for sure he had. That was the general practice of people that were in his job, his occupation. They extorted extra money, and he brings that up. If I've extorted money from somebody, I'm going to pay them back multiple times. I have the sense that Zacchaeus doesn't have much left when he makes things right that had been wrong that he had done. Well, except he has this one thing. He has this pearl of great price. He has Christ. And he has entered into the kingdom of God. And that's worth anything he had ever had. And he saw it. And he knew it. And he buys in. Isn't that what's going on in the story of Zacchaeus? He buys in. He doesn't equivocate. He doesn't say, well, yeah, but if I do this, I'll lose my job. Or I'll have to quit. Or if I do this, and I make things right when I've done people wrong, well, I won't have much left. I won't have anything left. Well, yeah, but he knew he would have something left. The kingdom of God. Jesus bought in, didn't he? Isn't that what the Scripture tells us over and over again? Jesus bought in. Jesus left behind the wonders, the glories of heaven when he bought in. And he bought in even to the point of giving up his life. And I want to remind you, he is our example, isn't he? I mean, isn't that what we speak of ourselves as, Christians? The word Christian literally means little Christs. If we're going to follow Jesus, we're going to have to buy in. If we're going to enter the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, you've got to buy in. So that you recognize and you admit and you confess and you live out the truth that there is nothing more important than the kingdom of God. See, I think this merchant in this parable, I think this merchant has caught a vision of something better, of something greater, of something more important than pearls. Plural, pearls. Pearls, they were okay, they were important, they were valuable. But he found this one thing that is valuable in a way no other thing is valuable. It's the kingdom of God. He's found the kingdom of God, and there's nothing more important than that. And it changes his life. You ever thought about that in this parable? This changes his life and his lifestyle. Isn't that the point in the last part of this verse? It changes your lifestyle if you sell everything you've got, doesn't it? If you buy in totally and you don't leave any cushion, that'll change your lifestyle, won't it? This guy has found something that's more important than anything else in the world. It's more important than friends. It's more important than a house or a car. It's even more important than family. And here's the scary part for me. It's even more important than grandchildren. And I'm called, and you are called, to buy in. In a very serious, thorough way. Buy in. The day I was baptized, I began to buy in. But you know, that's a continuing process, isn't it? As you get older and as you progress in your life, there are other ways. You have to keep buying in. The day you're baptized, you begin to buy in, but that's not the end of the story. That's just the beginning. You just become somebody that keeps buying in. And I thought about you, us, this church. See, I think there's a lot of people here that have bought in. And there's something very powerful when you've got people in a church. And I think one reason is because there's a lot of old people here. Old people. The young ones need to buy in too. But if old people will buy in, think of the great power. Think of the great service that can be done by older people, especially people that may be retired. And I know you got more aches and pains and you got more challenges with your health, but you've got time to serve. You've got abilities that have been honed over a lifetime and sharpened throughout your life so that, see, I think the great strength of our congregation is that we've got enough older people with ability and time that no telling what God may can do with us. Who knows what God might do with people that'll buy in, even if they're old. We'll buy in. See, that's what I see here. And that's what excites me. Jesus keeps calling us to buy in to the kingdom of heaven.